Let's read together Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Here we have the first chapter in one of the most misunderstood books in the entire Bible. But this book of Scripture, when properly understood and interpreted, is a very practical part of the Word of God. In fact, by way of personal testimony, this book of the Bible, probably more than any other, has determined my own personal lifestyle. Let's begin by reading the first three verses. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? Let's begin our study of this first chapter of Ecclesiastes with some background notes. Question: who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes and when was it written? Answer: we believe King Solomon wrote this book of Scripture near the end of his life after he had come back to the Lord. This is the traditional view of the author and date of Ecclesiastes, supported by both Jewish and Christian tradition. Verse 1 says, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Now, the title of this book in our English Bibles follows the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament, and comes from the word in verse 1, preacher, or teacher, or assembler. That is, one who speaks to assemblies of people. Now, you probably recognize the closeness of this word to ekklesia, which is the Greek word for assembly or church. The fact that verse 1 says the author was the son of David and king in Jerusalem pretty well narrows it down to Solomon. Look also at verse 12 of this chapter. I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. And verse 16, I communed with my heart, saying, look, I have attained greatness and have gained more wisdom than all who were before me in Jerusalem. My heart has understood great wisdom and knowledge. Who else could the author of Ecclesiastes be other than King Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived? The idea that this is just a literary device to give the book more clout is not necessary. There is nothing in this book that Solomon could not have written himself near the end of his life in the 10th century BC. Verse 2 is the most well-known verse in the book of Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And verse 3 holds the key to properly understanding what verse 2 means in context, as well as in the rest of the book. The key is the phrase, under the sun. See, verse 3, what profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? That's a key phrase to understand what this book is all about. Under the sun is a figure of speech which is used 29 times in the book of Ecclesiastes and means, from the human perspective, without taking God into account, who is above the sun. From the human perspective, apart from divine revelation, all is vanity. Life is futile. Without the divine perspective from above the sun, ultimately nothing makes sense. Life is a big zero. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. You know, I can't think of anything more empty than getting old and nearing death and realizing that this life is all there is. How do unbelievers cope with this? For them to say that they've lived a good life and followed the golden rule is shallow thinking. Without God in the picture, there is no golden rule. Who, for example, determines what is good and what is bad for this random collection of living molecules that came out of nothing and are destined for nothing? By the inspiration of the Spirit of God, Solomon had it right. Under the sun, without divine revelation, there is no meaning to life. All is vanity, futile, meaningless. Now, it's extremely important to note that Solomon is not saying that life is futile and meaningless. No, he is saying that without God in the picture, Under the sun, life is meaningless. With God in the picture, life is not a big zero. With divine revelation, we come to see that life is worth living and can be enjoyed and can become meaningful. In fact, when we move above the sun, in many places in the book of Ecclesiastes, and view life from God's perspective, then we see that Ecclesiastes is a guidebook for living a joyous life as a believer. And that brings us to our doctrinal points for Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Doctrinal point number 1. Under the sun, the cycles of life lead to futility. Under the sun, the cycles of life lead to futility. Verses 4 through 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, beginning now with verse 4. One generation passes away, and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. The sun also rises, and the sun goes down, and hastens to the place where it arose. The wind goes toward the south and turns around to the north. The wind whirls about continually and comes again on its circuit. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full, to the place from which the rivers come. There they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new? It has already been in ancient times before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of things that are to come by those who will come after. In these verses, Solomon gives some examples to prove his point that under the sun, from the human perspective alone, without the benefit of having the divine perspective, all is vanity and futile and meaningless. Generations come and generations go, and life goes on. Verse 4. One generation passes and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. When you look at nature, everything is endless cycles. Day after day, wind, rain, river flow, you name it. Verses 5 through 7. The sun also rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it arose. The wind goes toward the south and turns around to the north. The wind whirls about continually and comes again on its circuit. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full, to the place from which the rivers come. There they return again. If Solomon were living today, he might say global warming and global cooling. It comes and goes in endless cycles. In verses 8 through 11, when we read that there is nothing new under the sun, verse 9, the point is not that there are no new inventions or technological advances. And when we read that there is no remembrance of earlier things, verse 11, the point is not that we don't learn lessons from history. The point is that there are no basic changes. Every generation struggles with the same problems. There is no real progress. But you say, what about the gospel? What about the rewards for faithful service to the Lord? This is not cyclic and meaningless. That's right, and that's the point. Above the sun, from God's perspective, and from divine revelation, we know the whole story and have the big picture. But apart from divine revelation, under the sun, the cycles of life lead to futility. Doctrinal point number 2, under the sun, human wisdom and knowledge lead to futility. Under the sun, human wisdom and knowledge lead to futility. Verses 12 through 18. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, beginning now with verse 12. I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I set my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all that is done under heaven. This burdensome task God has given to the sons of men, by which they may be afflicted. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and indeed all is vanity and grasping for wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be numbered. I commune with my heart, saying, look, I have attained greatness and have gained more wisdom than all who were before me in Jerusalem. My heart has understood great wisdom and knowledge, And I set my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is grasping for the wind. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. Did you ever try to catch the wind? Striving or grasping after wind, verse 14 and verse 17, is a great illustration of futile activity. In these verses, Solomon acknowledges that with all his human wisdom and knowledge, he could not figure out the real meaning of life. And remember, Solomon was the wisest person who ever lived. Apart from divine revelation, it looks like God purposely hides the truth about the meaning of life. So it becomes a lifelong struggle. Verse 13, "And I have set my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all that is done under heaven. This burdensome task God has given to the sons of man by which they may be afflicted." Solomon searched for meaning in life from the extreme of intellectualism on the one hand to the extreme of madness and folly on the other. Verse 17, "And he struck out." In fact, he found that the more you know, the more worries you have, and the more pain you experience, because you can see it coming, and you know how bad it can get. In other words, what you don't know won't hurt you, and ignorance is bliss. Now, these phrases are not Bible verses, but they do capture what the Bible is saying here. Verse 18, "For in much wisdom is much grief, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow." Apart from divine revelation, that is, under the sun, human wisdom and knowledge lead to futility. Practical application from Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Set your mind on things above the sun. Set your mind on things above the sun. You know, this is really a paraphrase of Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, which says, "Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth." In the book of Ecclesiastes, we are seeing things under the sun, and that's the only viewpoint unbelievers have. No wonder they set their minds on things that are on the earth. Unfortunately, that's what a lot of believers do as well. In Colossians chapter 3, believers are exhorted to live their lives in line with their spiritual position. Let's read Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Verse 2 once again, right? "If you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth." From Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. The idea in these verses is not that we should be so heavenly minded that we are no earthly good. No. But that we should live our lives in view of the truth that we've been saved out of this world. And we are now citizens of heaven. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through, right? Our mission now is to serve the Lord all the days that he gives us on this earth. So set your mind on things above the sun.